The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, the government wants to increase the number of homes in rural Ireland by 50%. In a significant policy shift, the rules around who can build houses in rural areas are to be relaxed. There's going to be uniform policy sets, so the same rules apply in every county. John Cummins is Fine Gael TD for Waterford and the Minister of State for Local Government and Planning. And he is here with me now to explain the changes. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
Thanks for coming in. You've described this as a fundamental shift in housing policy. So essentially, it'll be easier for people to build in rural areas. Will you tell us what's changing?
Yeah, so look, thanks very much for inviting me on the programme this morning. I suppose the changes that we're bringing forward today, both Minister Brown and I, are about ensuring that we have a fairer and more clearer and consistent approach to rural planning policy across the country. So whether you're from Waterford or Laois or Donegal, the same rules are applying to you. These guidelines haven't been updated in over 20 years, and over that 20-year period, there's been a greater divergence, I suppose, from local authority to local authority. So essentially like a postcode lottery in terms of seeking planning. So what we're doing in this draft national planning statement, which will go to public consultation before coming into force at the end of the year, is about ensuring that we have clear rules if you're seeking to build a rural one-off house in the area that you're from. And I want to see a thriving rural Ireland. Government wants to see a thriving rural Ireland. And in my opinion, the rules around rural one-off housing have been too restrictive for too long, and we want to introduce a bit of fairness and a bit of common sense and a bit of practicality to rural planning in the country.
Because I mean, we've heard time and time again, as I'm sure you have as well, people who want to build in the country, they're turned down because they don't have enough road frontage or their links to the area aren't strong enough. So are those things changing?
Yes. So essentially, with a national planning statement, when it's in force at the end of the year, every local authority will have to vary their development plans to ensure that it is consistent with the national planning statement within 3 months of that coming in force. But the statement itself stands in its own right. So we are simplifying the social and economic need. So we're expanding the economic need. So before, it was quite rigid around the likes of farming, agriculture, rural enterprises. It didn't capture in many local authorities the likes of people that are providing essential services in local rural areas.
So if you're
like
a teacher,
for example, exactly a perfect example.
But you have to be a teacher for a long period of time in an area.
So within the rural area, if you're a teacher, you will be able to seek planning permission, subject to the general rules around planning. And the social need in general will be that you have to be from the area for a period of 7 years. There are more restrictive timeframes in terms of Gaeltacht or highly scenic areas or around cities, and that's appropriate too. But in general, the rule will be that you'll be able to build within 10 kilometres and you have to have lived at any point, either consecutively or cumulatively, for a period of 7 years. And what I would say as well, an important change that we're introducing here is that all settlements, towns or villages below 1,500 in population, you'll now be considered to have a rural housing need by virtue of being from a settlement of less than 1,500. That's a significant change, because before, if you were within the settlement line, you could never go outside of that settlement line, even if there was no opportunity for you to build in that settlement.
A question I had about this is, if I am refused planning permission by my local authority and I've exhausted all of the appeals at that level
today,
under the new rules,
under the new rules.
How do I make sure that this new policy is being adhered to? Who do I go to next? Who is the overseeing body?
So just like today, if you seek planning permission through your local authority, anybody is entitled to take an appeal on a decision to uncommission Planála. That will remain the case. In terms of ensuring that we have that clarity and consistent approach across local authorities, it is both my department departments and also the Office of the Planning Regulator's job to ensure that there are no additional prescriptive rules, the likes of that five houses in a row, which will be precluded now under the new rules. So every local authority will have to ensure that their development plan is consistent with that, and that's the job of the Office of the Planning Regulator in my department.
That is to ensure there'll be uniform policy.
Correct.
Across the country.
And that's only fair.
We were asking people to get in touch with questions, and we've some coming in. So this person lives in a rural area in North Dublin. They've three children, one of whom is an adult, two of whom are minor. They're all living at home. They've been in the house for 20 years, the family. The 5 acres of land around the house. You can tell what's coming now. Will the new planning laws facilitate more than one house so that I can provide for each of my children when the time comes for them to have their own home?
So in principle, yes, but I don't know the exact circumstances of where that exact house is. So what I would say is the overriding principle in the National Planning Statement is in areas, wider rural areas, in areas under urban influence, that you will have your planning application adjudicated on its own merits, and that there is no overarching prescriptive rules that will prevent the likes of you can't have X number of houses within a certain radius, the likes of that five in a row, a presumption against backland or infill development. None of those things which have, I suppose,
so
evolved over time.
In theory, that family could have four houses on their 5 acres, in theory,
It depends, obviously, on the individual circumstances, okay. And that'll be adjudicated by the local authority.
People are worried about this as well. They say it undermines the national planning framework. This is a message which is replicated across the morning here. You know, that the national planning framework's core goal of compact growth, focusing on building in towns and villages, this will worsen car dependency and the danger on rural roads. And also there's that argument that it will increase costs for the state as well, John, because when it comes to providing infrastructure, when it comes to providing transport solutions, it costs more to service these one-off homes. What do you say to that criticism?
So you hear this coming up from time to time. I think there's a gross misunderstanding of how rural Ireland operates. The reality is, while we have some excellent transport links now with the likes of local links across the country, there are many people that are living in a town or a village or a city, and their parents or families are living in that rural area, and they go back and forth between those houses as it currently is. Okay, so having a rural house adjacent to their family home on their farm where they grew up within their own communities, where their children will be able to go to the local school, where they'll be able to take part in the local GAA club or soccer club, they're all things that I hold dearly, and I understand that. I'm a constituency TD as well as minister. I'm from Waterford City. I don't believe that it's appropriate for me to be able to go out into rural Waterford and build a one-off home. However, if I'm from rural Waterford and I've moved into Waterford City for a period of time and I want to go back to my rural area, my community, where I grew up, close to my family, close to my friends, I think that's a reasonable expectation that people would have, subject to meeting the general rules around planning. And I think that's introducing a level of fairness into the system that hasn't been heretofore.
You know, when there's a storm and we hear explanations around how long it takes to reconnect people to the electricity grid, and one of the reasons often given is because we have so many one-off houses in this country that we've a complex network. Are we not just adding to that?
The reality is many of those ESB lines are already there. The roads are already there. You also have the National Broadband Plan that has been rolled out in rural areas right across the country, with still some work to do. So I think that ship has sailed quite a long time ago, being honest. I think, as I said, it's about introducing a level of common sense and fairness into the process, where people that haven't been facilitated to live within their local area, within their local communities, will now have the option And crucially, it's the option to apply for planning. I'm not saying that everyone has to go and build a rural one-off home, but I think it is a fair system if you have the opportunity to be able to live and work in your rural community.
There are people asking this morning, would it not make more sense to make sure that there is investment in living in our villages and towns to try and have those places thriving? Because we see that they've been hollowed out largely across the country.
And what I would say to that is, we are doing that too. This is not an either or. You know, there's been huge investment through the Department of Community and Rural Development, the likes of town and village renewal schemes, rural regeneration projects right across the country, the likes of the vacant property refurbishment grant, up to €70,000 to turn a vacant property, a vacant and derelict property into your permanent home, add €28,000 in terms of SEAI, nearly €100,000. And many of those properties are in towns and villages. So it's not an either or, but it is about providing options.
How hard it is to get the derelict housing grant here as well. And they're asking why a bit of the old house has to be kept. Keeping a crumbling part of the house could use up half the grant, and the builders are finding difficulty in standing over a crumbling part of the build.
It is a vacant property refurbishment grant, so it is to take what is there in terms of a vacant property.
It's not a new build.
We have the likes of the Help to Buy scheme and First Home scheme that assists people in terms of building a house or buying a house, and their schemes for people to assist. But the vacant property refurbishment grant is to take a vacant or derelict property and turn it into your home.
What about how this is going to look? Like, will there be ill-considered sprawling development across the country now? You know, eyesores, desperate looking things.
I don't believe so. I genuinely don't believe so. I think this is about introducing, as I said, a level of consistency, clarity and fairness to the planning system that hasn't been there. It's about ensuring that people can live within their communities. And, you know, rural people, you know, want to live in their communities. They want to support that local school. They want to support that local club. And this is about providing them the option to do so, if they choose to do so, and subject obviously to meeting all of the general planning conditions around, you know, site suitability, environmental considerations and all of that. This is not a free for all, but it is about ensuring that we introduce fairness to the system.
John, who's in Limerick, says that this is completely mad. He says if every farmer in Ireland can give each of their children a site, that would be permitted under what you've said this morning, and we'll have an explosion of rural housing. But that's close to what you want. I mean, you've said you want rural housing to increase by 50%. So John is on the money there.
Well, I haven't said that we want rural housing to introduce or to increase by 50%. Everything will be adjudicated on its own merits. So if it is suitable for a site to be developed adjacent to that farmer's land for a son or a daughter, well then, you know, subject to meet normal planning criteria, they will have a reasonable expectation of receiving planning. It's hard to put a number on it, obviously.
But there's nothing to stop a farmer selling a site to somebody from Dublin who has, say, been teaching in Limerick for 10 years.
Well, somebody in Limerick City or in the local
in the rural school in Limerick. Like, that is permitted under this, isn't it?
So if somebody is providing a service within the local rural area and have a local rural need to be able to live in that area and can demonstrate that to the satisfaction of the local authority, they'll have a reasonable expectation of receiving planning permission. But this is about, importantly, ensuring that people who are from that area can live in that area if they choose to do so, and about removing the likes of, you know, if somebody has lived in a city and wants to move home to their rural area, that they'll be able to do so. So look, these measures that, you know, both Minister Brown and I have worked on for the last 6 months or more, I believe they're really important. They are a fundamental shift, but as I said, we want to ensure that we have a thriving rural Ireland, and housing is an important part of that.
How will you stop people using these new rules to build holiday homes?
So importantly, and thanks very much for highlighting that, there's a clause in every rural application that will be there that it will be for owner-occupier use for a period of 10 years. So it applies to your first construction in the rural area and that there's an occupancy clause for 10 years.
Who so this is not that?
So that's local authorities. They're planning conditions that are attached to the dwelling and subject to all planning enforcements. We've seen some cases recently in terms of planning enforcement and that's something that local authorities do on a daily basis right across the country. So, you know, it's about ensuring that we have that clarity and consistency. But importantly, there is an owner-occupier clause to this. It's not for holiday homes. It's not for short-term lets. And there are further restrictions in those highly scenic areas where the distance is reduced to ensure that you don't have that encroachment on the coastal areas from outside of those areas.
Critics would say that this is the government now reaching for these answers in a housing crisis to try and ramp up building, but actually what's going to happen is it's going to ruin the countryside.
So it's not an either or. Like we had about 5,000 to 6,000 one-off houses, not all of them in rural areas built over the last number of years. We know there were 36,500 homes built in the country. We need to get to a run rate of 50,000 or more as quickly as possible. Rural housing has an important part to play in that, but also all of the work that we've been doing with our local authorities, ensuring that they are zoning more land, the 800 plus million that we put in 2 weeks ago that we announced through the Housing Infrastructure Investment Fund to unlock those residentially zoned land banks, okay, all with the goal of ensuring that we increase delivery in our urban areas. But of course, we need to ensure that people have that reasonable expectation in rural areas
also. How many houses do you think should be built in rural areas, one-off houses per annum?
So as I said, there's a number of factors that are at play here. It's impossible to put a figure on it because not everything that receives planning is built. You know, there are viability challenges. That's why we've introduced...
Do you have a target in mind?
We don't have a target. No, we don't. This is about ensuring that we have clarity and consistency. Like, you know, for too long now in this country, when you're in a neighbouring county, so Laois or Offaly, Waterford or Tipperary, you know, Cork or Kerry, there's different rules that are applying. And if you're over that boundary line, you could get planning permission for something that you wouldn't on the other side. We have national planning policy, and what we're doing today is about bringing clarity and consistency to that, regardless of where you're from in the country.
Minister of State John Cummins, thank you very much for coming in.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.